The freedom of speech is one of the fundamental rights not just in Germany but around the globe. Nevertheless, this doesn't mean that it is allowed to say everything you want and spread every opinion. Especially digital communication, as on social media, seems to be a place where more and more hate speech comes up. Discrimination, racism, or anti-Semitism are omnipresent throughout platforms like Facebook or X.
But why do digital channels seem to be a fertile ground for this? Where does the right of free speech actually ends and hate speech begins? And is free speech actually in danger?
Welcome everyone to Internet Governance Explained, a podcast produced by Freie Universität Berlin, where we talk about all the aspects related to the World Wide Web. My name is Paul Schocho.
And I am Margarita Popova. Today we will have the opportunity to dive into the fine line of where the freedom of speech ends and hate speech takes place and how we can deal with it. To get an answer on these questions, we are delighted to have Lena Maria Böswald with us today. She's working for the NETZ, a networking center to fight hate speech on the internet. Lena Maria Böswald is an expert regarding the interface between civil society and platform regulation. Welcome, Lena, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. Lovely to be here.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and your work?
With pleasure. I work as a policy and advocacy manager at DAS NETZ, which is a networking initiative, or you could also say an umbrella organization for civil society organizations and movements that are combating hate speech, be it in the form of counter speech. It can also be victim support, research, prevention mechanisms. And in my role, I try to touch upon pluralistic discourse from a policy perspective. And I think what's also crucial to know is that this NETZ is part of the Competence Network against Online Hate. In German, that's called Kompetenznetzwerk gegen Hass im Netz. It's one of the founding members, and the Competence Network is really a focal point, a contact point for anyone who needs guidance with respect to the topic online hate, wants to get involved in the topic, wants to report on online hate, or just wants to learn more about it.
Really interesting. And as we already know, your focus at work is platform regulation. Where does your interest in hate speech and the fine line of platform regulation come from?
That is a tough question. I guess my interest comes from previous research that I have conducted in the fields of hate speech and disinformation, with a specific focus on electoral processes. And coming from the research lens or the perspective, I always found it very interesting to look on the other side and see what is actually possible from a platform point of view, where changes can still be done. And the research serves as the evidence for platform regulation to actually change the policies and the community guidelines that the respective platforms are working with.
All right then, but I mean, as we dive into like hate speech and the platform regulation itself, like, are there actually clear legal boundaries to basically control hate speech in the digital space?
In principle, so when you differentiate between the law of freedom of expression and freedom of speech and combating hate speech online or hateful content, in principle, everyone is allowed to express their opinion, because freedom of expression, freedom of speech is an extremely important asset of our democracy. It's enshrined in our German basic law. So striking this balance is very complex, or can be quite complex. But what we need to keep in mind is that the right of freedom of speech and expression, it does not apply without restrictions. So it always reaches certain limits where other rights are actually violated or are more worthy of protection. That those could be statements that are actually violating the dignity of a person or a group of people. When it comes to hate speech, it is really tricky to define hate speech per se, just because there is no commonly agreed upon definition of hate speech in EU law. There are also different interpretations in national law, on international levels even. And I think the definition that most European member states are working with, also Germany, is a definition from the Council of Europe. And this definition entails all expressions that call for, that are actually justifying hatred, discrimination, violence against a certain group of people or a person. And this is based on attributed personal characteristics, so protected personal characteristics. And those could be, for instance, race, nationality, ethnic origin, disability, gender identity, sexual orientation. So obviously these concepts clash to a certain extent, the freedom of expression and the monitoring of hate speech. But I think we really need to keep in mind that the internet is not a legal vacuum. So there are always legal boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as we already talk about it, like, where do you see social media and its like unique role when it comes to hate speech?
I think social media platforms do have quite an active role in combating online hate on their platforms. Of course, for one, governments can request that companies remove certain content, especially if it's illegal content, as the Digital Services Act does or will do when it comes fully into force on February 17th. But also platforms themselves, they have their community guidelines that they can work with, and content that does not comply with their community guidelines or their terms of services, they also have the right to remove or downgrade this content. I think the issue with hateful content is oftentimes that a large amount of hateful content is on the fringes of legality, so it's or within its bounds, so not necessarily illegal content per se, but they do have quite an opportunity here, or also a responsibility, as public spaces and communication spaces where lots of people gather and voice their opinions.
Okay, so you mentioned a little bit how platforms are able to effectively moderate criticism, but maybe you can talk a little bit more about how they can moderate hate speech, especially.
Yeah, so what platforms can do is, if content is illegal, and per definition hate speech is illegal, they can take down content, they can also suspend accounts, they could temporarily deactivate accounts. When it's legal but harmful still, they can also just downrank it. So they just reduce the virality of a post. But in general, if it's illegal, then they have a couple of measurements they could take. And yeah, those would be taking it down, suspending accounts, or just deactivating accounts.
What role do AI and machine learning play in identifying and combating hate speech on the internet, you would say?
I'd say it plays quite a huge role. It increases the efficiency of content moderation to a certain extent. It can scale up tasks that would be very tedious for the human eye to undertake. You can, for one, as an example, identify by the use of AI the degree of toxicity of a statement with the use of machine learning. So that is quite helpful. You can also just identify networks of perpetrators of hate online. However, I think you do need to keep in mind that content moderation that is then based on automated means can also just miss hateful content. It really depends on the language, the context of the content that you're analyzing or that you're trying to find online. I know that in certain regions where there's a diversity of dialects spoken, It is really difficult to identify hate speech just because the data that the AI is being trained with sometimes doesn't even take these different dialects into account. So that is an issue. And on the other hand, what is also an issue is that oftentimes sarcasm or irony are not properly detected by these content moderation tools or AI detection tools that are trying to detect hate speech. So the use of misogynistic sarcasm and irony is also very prevalent. So these are definitely pitfalls of AI content moderations, but they do help in terms of efficiency.
Absolutely. And I mean, obviously, like to identify hate speech throughout the basically global nature of the internet and social media itself, not just makes it more complicated to identify hate speech, but also to actually have a legal framework to fight with against hate speech. Like, for example, when we talk about, let's say, the Charter of Fundamental Rights in the EU or the General Data Protection Regulation that was basically, like, let's say, invented in 2012 and implemented in 2015, are at least like the try to fight those global problems coming up. Do you see a chance of like getting a global network combined to fight those issues?
I think the issue comes with no commonly agreed upon definition when we talk about hate speech in EU law, but also on an international basis. I guess that is the global nature of the World Wide Web. It affects the legal framework in that sense, that freedom of speech and hate speech are just interpreted differently in different countries. And I think this is also the reason why the Digital Services Act, that is a EU-wide digital law and tries to unify a lot of rules in the different EU member states, does not really qualify what determines illegal content. It's not determined by the DSA itself. It actually depends on the EU member states and the applicable law in those respective member states, because it is an incredible task to come up with an international law. So I do appreciate the European Union efforts to come up with something that is very flexible and that can also then be applied to the different and versatile law environments, legal environments in different member states.
Absolutely. Like, could you name a few examples, especially in the EU, where you see those clashes between like the understanding of hate speech and like the maybe even the language?
The understanding of hate speech, if, for instance, we look at German law, we do have a certain criteria of hate speech that are very specific to our legal environment. For instance, if we talk about Holocaust denial, this is also something that is forbidden by law in other European countries, but it's also something that is very specific for Germany, given the history. So of course, if we look at certain symbols or codes that are affiliated with the Nazi regime, these are prohibited in Germany, such as the swastika or other codes, as I said. And I know that in different countries around the world, for instance, if we look at the US and their definition of freedom of expression and speech, it's just a different story. There's much more allowed. So that's something to take into account.
What responsibility do platforms and internet service providers have in ensuring a respectful digital discourse space?
I think online platforms have quite a lot of power. They set their own rules. For instance, if we look into how they shape online discourse, they have their own algorithms. They let their algorithms decide which content we can see. They have their own default settings, their platform designs that guide us or navigate us through the platform to a certain extent, and then also one could say dictate how we communicate on these platforms. So they have quite a lot of mechanisms in place that are not necessarily comprehensible to us, very much intransparent. And the interest of platforms, this buzzword of the attention economy, where the attention of a user is actually the currency of the economy that the platform is based on, is very much at odds with the fight against hate content. I still think they have a rather active role to play, especially because of the fact that their business model supports the spread of hateful content, be it illegal or illegal content that is still harmful. It spreads quickly because when content polarizes, it's emotional, people will interact with it, there will be more engagement, and this will eventually lead to more revenue for the platform. So I do think they play a huge role and they should be held accountable for not acting accordingly.
Yes, absolutely. So on the other hand, what responsibility does the government has in this regard?
As someone who's working on the policy side, of course, I think regulation is crucial. And I mentioned before that especially with the Digital Services Act, the European Commission and the national governments, they have a lot of power to hold the platforms accountable and make sure that illegal content is removed from the platforms. But I would say platform governance or regulation is not the sole remedy. So it does not solve the issue, or an issue that is very widely rooted in society. It's also important that we spend a lot of resources on advice centers, on offices where you can actually report content. We need to invest in collective law enforcement. So I think there's still quite a lot to do to also provide training to law enforcement officers, to the police. There's also not enough or appropriate media skills available yet. So I think regulation is one large aspect, but there's plenty of other solutions that we also need to tackle.
Absolutely. And I mean, once we move a little further away from like platform regulation and the necessity of the government to have like an impact on those regulations, I found a quote from a German politician, Georg Eisenreich. He is the Bavarian Minister of Justice for the CSU. And he actually once said hate speech would actually be a threat to democracy. And he stated the pandemic would have reinforced this. Would you agree with the statement?
I think my answer is twofold. If I answer to the part where he said it's a threat to democracy, of course, 100%. If hate online intimidates citizens and that results in them not attending rallies or not to cast their votes, they are isolating themselves, then this has direct real-life implications for democracy. I don't necessarily have enough evidence to back up the statement that the pandemic reinforced hate speech online. I do think that hate online aims to drown out voices in the digital space, and that opinions that are openly held by a minority in real life are actually pushed and published with just a few clicks, and then they just receive a large state on the internet. And if we assume that haters just have the upper hand, then it quickly appears that their views dominate in society, not only in the digital space but also offline. And that gives them a lot of opportunities. And I think we've seen that particularly in recent years during the COVID-19 pandemic, and also a campaign by the anti-vax activists that was a rather small but very loud group.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of hate or hateful comments on the internet, in Germany, the so-called Netzwerkdurchsuchungsgesetz, shortly called NetzDG, is supposed to create specific parameters in which the follow-up of hate speech should be improved. So our question here is, how successful is the persecution of hate speech on the internet, and where are we right now when it comes to sanctioning hate comments?
I think there's still a lot to do. I said in the beginning that there are legal boundaries, that the internet is not a legal vacuum. It is definitely not, yet offenders online often get away with their crimes. They are rarely punished. And that's because the issue is threefold to a certain extent. It's quite costly to take a certain case to court. There are also usually very long procedures. It's a very complicated process. And then it's just very uncertain whether you will actually win a case in court or not. So I think a lot of people refrain from actually going through this hassle and actually cannot afford the hurdles of going through this process. I do have high hopes that with the Digital Services Act that actually will supplement the Network Enforcement Act that you've talked about and the law against digital violence that is to be passed this year in Germany also, that we have the right steps in the right direction, given that the letter is actually trying to make it easier for people that are affected by online hate to defend themselves against digital violence in court in the future. So I would say there is still quite a lot to do, but we're going in the right direction.
That sounds hopeful. And I mean, probably more specifically, where do you see maybe good, maybe even bad aspects, especially in Germany, when it comes to like the international comparison of battling hate speech? And probably is there like a country or a region where you would say they are already ahead, like in their thinking and probably in their law enforcement?
I think when the Network Enforcement Act was introduced, there was quite a lot of criticism with respect to overregulation, because of course if you think about regulating illegal content, there's always the concern that platforms, especially if they have a certain deadline to remove content, that they just play it safe and they remove too much content just to avoid any sanctions and the fines that they need to pay. I think with the Digital Services Act that I'm constantly referring to, because it will be the new law that we're working with, there is a lot of room or a lot of protection of freedom of expression, which is really great. So it really makes sure that it fosters a safe online environment while also making sure that users can make use of their rights to challenge certain platform decisions. So that's why I'm saying, obviously, we still need to see how it will develop and how it will evolve, given that it will fully come into force in February. But I have high hopes for this.
Last but not least, we would like to have a little outlook, like what comes in the future, what are the next steps when it comes to hate speech and the fine line from freedom of speech to hate speech. And we are wondering, like you were talking already about laws coming up in the future to hopefully take place in the communication throughout the digital space. But what would you say are your recommendations on how to deal with hate speech personally?
I come from a civil society. So of course I have the policy perspective, but coming from civil society, I think politicians must support civil society structures and take consistent action against hate online. I think there are several options to combat hate speech, and there needs to be proper funding to do so. Lots of organizations are focusing, for instance, on counter speech activities online just to dismantle arguments that are brought up by people perpetrating hate. One can also use counter narratives that actually put democratic values first. You can also report content, and it's very crucial that these reporting offices and organizations such as Respect, such as HateAid, such as Jugendschutz.net, that actually in charge of protection of youth, are funded properly. I do think, if I go back to the policy perspective, what comes with the Digital Services Act is also hopefully the access to more data for researchers, not only academia, but also civil society organizations and journalists, to actually have a look at the platform data, see if they properly mitigate their risks. So there's quite a lot of opportunity there, and actually making people aware also of their very own rights and supporting them in filing a criminal complaint is very crucial as well.
Okay, great. So with all that we talked about today, what steps would you consider to be the most important to take in the future to battle hate speech online?
Personally, I would say it's a combination of different areas and different aspects. So I said in the very beginning, it's not something that regulation can do alone. I think it's a combination of civil society efforts. And what an individual can do is really making sure that once they see online hate, they report it to the platform. They make sure that they know the respective reporting offices or organizations that can actually also file complaints, so they will also report it to those organizations, and that they're active and stand up for democratic values. I think that's something that for me personally is critical, that we're not silencing ourselves, but we're actually speaking up for what is right and present online, because as we know, the online activities have an effect on the offline world, so we should really do our parts here.
That sounds amazing.
Thank you. This was Internet Governance Explained. To learn more about DustNets and their work, feel free to visit their website and their social media channels. And if you are experiencing hate speech, support can be found at hateaid.org. All links can be found in the description of this episode. Thank you for listening. Bye!